You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanza.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for our best of episode for this summer. I gotta admit, this is one of the weirdest shows that we do because we get to put together literally just the craziest clips that we have put, that we have made throughout the past year or so into this episode.
Yeah.
Don't think that this is going to be just a simple little clip show.
No.
We go above and beyond for this one. I laughed during the whole time re-listening to this episode. Just to give you a little bit of background in case maybe you didn't catch last week's episode or you're just catching up now. Right now we're just on a little bit of a summer break. You know, we take one, you know, we do this
52 weeks of the year. 51, yeah.
Yeah.
We need that 1 week.
And then probably something usually happens in winter where we get snowed in or something. So on average, we do 50 episodes a year.
Yeah. It's a very intense recording schedule.
So we like to take a break every now and then, especially here in the summer, because you know what? You got to enjoy the summer.
Yeah, it's true. It's my fault.
Damn it, Mike.
As we speak, I'm probably on a beach somewhere.
But, you know, well, Mike, you guys do the whole caravan thing.
We do.
This is your big family gathering.
Yeah, all the aunts and uncles, and cousins. There's like 14 or 15 of us that go down to Ocean City and just take over.
Yeah, and you guys have 10 vehicles, and you just have this massive caravan. The state of New Jersey knows you're coming.
They prepare for us. They say, get ready. The caravan's coming through.
Some idiot is screaming about sausages.
Sausages!
You know. Speaking of sausage, we cook all our own meals to bring down the shore before we go down so that the women of the family don't have to actually like physically make it. It's already made. They just have to cook it, you know? So there's like coolers and coolers filled with like chicken cutlets and lasagna and pasta.
You guys are ready to bring this all out onto the beach.
We are ready. Well, the leftovers from dinner, whatever we don't eat during the day, we bring to the beach the next day. Super Sata sandwiches, chicken cutlet sandwiches, a little bit of leftover eggplant parmigiana.
Mike, see, here's the thing.
Is that not what normal people do at the beach?
No, let me clue you in on what I did.
Okay.
I spent one weekend in Ocean City this summer.
Right.
Are you ready for all I brought?
What did you bring?
I brought three pairs of a change of clothes.
Okay.
And a case of Coors Light.
Okay.
And $200.
That is far too little, Rich.
That's all I brought, essentially.
That's about 2 hours for one of us. When we pack for a week, it seems like we're packing for a month.
By the way, I blew the first $100 in Atlantic City because I was like, when am I going to be in Atlantic City again?
Yeah, exactly.
Especially at 4 a.m, you know, when's the next time I'm going to do that?
See, that's why you brought 200 though.
Yeah, right.
Because you knew 100, you just a write off.
Yeah. Oh, right off the old top.
Yeah.
So yeah, Mike,
that's how normal people do it. Yeah.
Well, that's the other extreme. You guys have you guys have the big caravan.
We bring everything, you bring nothing.
I just bring whatever I need to survive.
The clothes on your back and a fistful of cash.
Yeah.
And a Coors Light.
Make sure, don't forget the beer.
Don't forget the beer, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
You gotta get it before you go over the bridge or else you're screwed.
Yeah, especially for Ocean City. Yeah.
We always do that. That's a dry town. Yeah.
But no, I've learned my lesson from Spaceballs. Take what you need to survive.
That's right. So no giant hair dryers, no giant combs.
No.
Okay. All right. I'll have to pass the message along.
I don't know about you guys, but you guys are going to have a big caravan.
Yeah.
I want you to take a picture of it or something. There needs to be something.
Well, we all leave from different points, so we don't actually drive in a caravan, but when we get there, it's like we take over our little apartment
you
place.
You take over Ocean City.
Well, because we do have like 6 vehicles.
You know what? This should be like a public service announcement. If you're listening to this podcast, the Costanzo family has taken over.
A public service announcement for the residents of Ocean City, New Jersey. Please lock your doors.
Hide your sausages.
Sausages!
Remove any small pets or children from the vicinity. Warning, a caravan of Italians is approaching. Warning, a caravan of Italians is approaching.
You can hear them coming over the bridge.
Yeah, we'll be yelling all the way across.
So anyway, long story short.
Yeah.
You guys have this wonderful family vacation.
Yeah.
And this is when we take our summer break.
Yeah, yep.
So that's what you'll be doing. I'll probably be up to some mischief, either with alcohol.
I'm sure you will.
And, yeah, so there you go.
You haven't really planned more than just a few beers ahead.
Yeah, right. I haven't exactly planned out what I'm going to do with this random summer break that we do.
You're living on the edge. That's the other way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the genesis of the best of show that we
right.
do.
Right, because we didn't want to leave you guys with no episode.
That's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we don't want you to have to go through a week without us, right?
I know, that would be torture. So instead, we compiled some of the best moments we've had since the last best of episode. We have everything in this one, from weird openings to crazy sports news to some games we played, because that's something new that we've been doing this past year, is playing a lot of games recently.
Yeah, it's
so
fun.
We have a few of those and a whole bunch of other interesting stuff for you guys.
Yeah, so don't take this lightly. This is not your traditional just clip show and just throw crap together and just hope it sticks.
No, yeah, we put like 15 minutes of thought into this, okay?
at least
15 minutes, probably closer to 20.
Yes. I had to run off and get a coffee.
Yeah, that's how intense it was. Rich had to get one coffee.
Yeah, all right. No, but in all seriousness, we preview all the clips before we publish this episode, and we've just been laughing our ass off.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So we hope that you guys find it just as funny. So you know what? Without further ado, let's launch into the best of clips. Why not?
Yeah, let's do it.
The first group of clips that we're going to play, something new that we've been doing for 2015.
We have not done this before
on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
This started in January of 2015, and these will go chronologically from that point. It is something brand new to this year that we've been doing. Cold opens.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, which most people do know, but whatever. Cold open.
Well, maybe not. We don't know.
Cold open is when you just start a show with something random that doesn't have an introduction, but it's just something to jolt you, to wake you up, to give you a laugh, quick laugh right off the bat.
Right.
And we've been doing it and we've had success. We've had people telling us that they're just so random that it's hilarious. So we hope that they've been working.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have a blast recording them, and a lot of them, secret inside tidbit here, a lot of them I don't even know Rich is recording. And that's how this whole cold open thing began, wasn't it? Really?
Yeah.
So why don't we launch into the segment? This is the cold open compendium.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah,
you and your alliteration.
I love alliteration. But this first one that we have is exactly what I just described. Rich was recording, I had no idea. And I just had to get some singing off my chest. The first cold open that we did of 2015 is called A Whole New Year, episode 94.
Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2015. A whole new year.
Odd news as far as you can see. With people shoving things upside their butts and smuggling cocaine through the airport, I can show you the sports. Eagle sock and the Sixers too. We have nothing to talk about in the off season with you. A whole new year.
Are you going to help me at all? Or are you just going to let you go? This is great.
A new fantastic entertainment entree. Too many syllables. I cannot count. Oh, woe is me. Someone help me do math.
You weren't recording on that, were you?
That's why you let me sing so long.
Mike's Illegal Emporium, episode 99.
Hi, you've reached Mike's Illegal Emporium hotline. To speak to a live Michael, press 1 now. To buy cocaine and or heroin, press 2 now. To find out more about Rich's mystery medicine, Dark Dramatity, press 3 now. To hear about our 2015 tank models, including motorized artillery and anti-aircraft launchers, press 4 now. To buy a TV, press 5 now. To reach our exotic destinations travel agency, press 6 now. To speak to the Python Patrol, press 7 now. To listen to Colt 45 by Afro Man, press 8 now. To continue to the Crispy Noodle Podcast, press 9 now.
Chim Chimney, Chim Chimney, episode 103. Chim Chimney, Chim Chimney, Chim Chim Chiroo. We've got a podcast for all of you. Chim Chimney, Chim Chimney, Chim Chim Chiree. This is gonna be fun for you and me.
What?
I don't know. I'm in a singing mood, I guess.
Oklahoma, episode 104.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plains. It's that and the farmer. Do you remember the farmer and the cowman? That was my favorite song from that whole musical. Oh, the farmer and the cowman should be friends. Oh, the farmer and... You don't remember that one? Should be friends.
The only thing
one man likes to milk a cow, the other likes to push a plow, but that's no reason why they can't be friends. Something, something, something.
I can't believe you remember the whole song.
Dude, I have it in iTunes. Okay, do not underestimate my ability for coming up with obscure musical quotes and stuff. Edith Piaf, Sing Along, episode 105.
La 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 la. Now she's just singing French.
Non, je ne regrette rien. Non, je ne regrette rien. Non, je ne regrette rien.
There you go. Mrs. Costanzo just blasted some Edith Piaf. Piaf. It's French, so it's cultured. We're cultured here on the show.
Yes, very cultured.
Get ready.
What are we doing?
The Ghost of Golfing Past, episode 106.
What could you possibly ask me about golf?
Golf!
Is that the question? What is Rich Liebig's excitement over golf? I'll take Rich Liebig and golf for 400.
Golf!
What is Rich saying golf?
No, correct. That was me trying to be a ghost also saying golf.
Ah, damn.
Golf!
Why would you be a ghost saying golf? Is that what's going to happen? You're going to haunt me?
No, I'll haunt golf courses.
Golf courses?
Yeah, I'll be like, golf!
Okay.
Sand traps.
Now, that is scary. Sand traps are scary.
Bonkers!
Would you only do professional golf courses, or would you do, like, mini golf courses, too?
Waterfall! Windmill!
See, mini golf is my favorite type of golf. Lobster Head, episode 107. It's a shameful thing, Lobster Head. That song is stuck in my head.
Ever since we played it?
Yeah. Friggin' Lobster Head.
Lobster Head!
Is that his superhero theme song?
That should be now. WWE's not using it.
It's a shameful thing, Lobster Head. What else could go in the theme song?
The next line is supposed to be a careless man who would wind up dead.
He was a careless man, almost wind up dead, but he fell into a vat of atomic goo, and now he's Lobster Head. It's a shameful thing. Lobster head. In the day, he's lobster head. In the night, he's lobster head. Saving the day, it's lobster head. He was a shameful thing, but now he's a hero. Lobster head. I don't know.
How to confirm a news story, episode 109.
Woo, 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 woo. All right, all right, all right. Enough, enough. Is it bad that I have that, like, semi-memorized?
Slowly but surely, I'm gonna you're gonna become a wrestling fan.
I'm becoming Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Woo!
Well, Ric Flair was either drunk or on cocaine for most of.
Now, do you know that for a fact? Or you just, or if we say that Ric Flair was a raging cocaine addicted alcoholic,
which probably is true.
I'm about 60-40 on it, so yeah. that passes our test. We only need 60% confirmation to report something.
Well, yeah, we're not CNN over
if
here.
If CNN needed two sources to declare the end of the world.
Yeah, right, to confirm the end of the world. Yeah.
Sir, there are zombies at our door, and another mushroom cloud appeared on the horizon.
Oh, wait, what does the Associated Press
yeah,
say?
Yeah, wait for the AP bulletin. Okay, now we can report it's the end of the world.
Now play Nearer My God to Thee or whatever.
Oh, I don't know.
No, it was Nearer My God to Thee.
That was a boring song, too.
Yeah.
Mr. Goodly, episode 110. I've always wanted to make that a word.
What?
Goodly.
Why Goodly?
I don't know. I think it's funny.
Sounds like the name of, like, a rejected Office character.
Like, from the show The Office?
Yeah, like Greg... Ooh, it's Greg Goodly.
Greg Goodly?
Yeah.
Maybe.
He's a silly guy, but good at good-natured and...
No, the joke would be his name is Goodly, but he's a
Yeah,
Goodly,
you
are a son of a bitch. Right?
I love how you just cut right to the chase. Hey, you know that asshole at work? It's this guy, Goodly.
Goodly, man, he's a fucking asshole.
There you go.
Oh my god. They could never. They could
Welcome to the office! We can do accents. Episode 115.
I can do Rocco from Rocco's Modern Life. I've done that for you before, right?
No.
Laundry day is a very dangerous day.
Oh, that's pretty good, yeah.
I'm Rocco. That's the only voice I can do.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know what else I can do.
We can both do Russian.
Yes,
Russian. Yes, comrade.
Always grab the vodka.
Yes, always with the vodka.
Yes, well, let us have the drink.
It is how you say...
We are manly men.
Yes, only manly men drink the vodka.
And sing.
And sing.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, Mother Russia. I always revert to Nico Bellic.
Nico Bellic.
Yeah.
Or the other
Cousin.
One. Cousin. Nico Bellic.
Good to see you.
You want to go bowling? You want to promote stereotype in 2006? It was always at the most inopportune time. You're like picking up prostitutes in the middle of a mission. And you're like killing people. He's like, cousin, you want to go bowling? You're like, no, I'm doing crime here. Oh, okay, cousin. And then he didn't like you anymore. Like, what's up with that?
See, what you don't know, Mike, is it's based on your life. It's
my
based,
life?
Yeah, because, you know, you're off doing illegal things. And all of a sudden you get a call from your mom or your cousin. It's like,
yeah.
Hey, come do this.
Yeah, that's pretty much how my life goes. Yeah,
there you go.
I'm out stealing cars and picking up hookers and killing lots of gang lords. And you know, my mom will call me like, Michael, come out for dinner. I'm like, Mom, I'm killing a bunch of drug lords here. We get a new tagline, episode 117. Not funny. I could have a heart condition, Rich.
Hey, why not? That would be a great way to start the show.
Oh, my God. What, yeah! Having to call 911?
Do you even know what you've signed up for by clicking the play button on this podcast? Bam!
We should start. That should be the cold open.
I'm down.
Just scare everyone. Everyone just shits their pants. Oh my god! This is a podcast!
This podcast makes me shit my pants.
That's our new tagline. The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
It'll make you shit your pants.
Perfect. We don't even need a marketing division. There you go. No, we already have our own campaign.
Yeah. Our ad spots write themselves.
We can do even more accents. Wait, there's more. Episode 118.
It is every accent all together. You know?
You're kind of like going from French to German. You're
That is the beauty of everything.
You have to sit up at the microphone, though.
That is the beauty.
Does that reach?
This wire does not reach.
Hold on.
The wire's... How about now?
Oh, now it is good.
Now it's good?
It's good.
It's good, comrade.
Wow, you guys are both now Russian.
This is the Soviet Noodle Podcast.
When did that happen?
We talk in Russian, but we are celebrating 4th of July, hot dogs and hamburgers, you know?
No. In Mother Russia, we have not hot dog and whatever Russian people you put have, on hot dog.
You have cod and vodka.
Cod and vodka.
I don't know why cod.
They have nothing to do in Russia. They listen to podcasts, you know?
Exactly. Oh, you have those long Siberian winters, you know? You might as well listen to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I'm so glad we finally got you on board now.
I'm glad to be here.
You're hooked up, ready to go.
Okay.
You ready to go, Mr. Costanzo?
Yes, I'm good. I thought we already started.
JB Does Impressions, Episode 119.
I'm Mike, and Rich is my friend, and John Bruno is my brother. Duh.
What do you think of your brother Bruno?
Oh, that idiot. He's pretty cool.
he's an idiot, and he's cool.
Yeah, he's cool.
Cool. All right, good. Yeah. What do you think of Mr. Costanzo?
Mr. Costanzo. Why am I calling my father Mr. Costanzo? He's here, so I'm going to be nice. He's pretty cool, too.
Did you eat sausages?
Oh, you know I love my sausages. All varieties.
Thank you. Good job, Mike.
You're welcome, Rich. Now, back to you.
Hi, I'm Rich.
Oh, yeah. No, do Rich now. Yeah, do Rich now.
Yeah, go ahead. Do me. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Rich. How you doing, guys? I got a microphone here, too, and I got computers, and I got some buttons here. I'm going to hit something right now.
I'll just bash it with a rock.
Yeah, that's what I do. Oh, well, so this is Rich and the Crispy Noodle with Michael here by my side. What's going on, Mike? How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
That's pretty good. That's all I got for you tonight.
Bye. Okay, that's the end of the podcast.
Just do it! Episode 121.
Do it. Do it.
Just do it!
You do a good impression of him.
Do it!
He's gonna come over, he's gonna take my mic.
Just do it! Do it! I'm Shia LaBeouf! Just do it!
He has to say beforehand, I'm Shia LaBeouf.
Well, if he doesn't announce it, nobody's gonna remember who Shia LaBeouf is.
I'm John Bruno! Do it!
Now,
like Shia LaBeouf! Just do it!
Now, as John Bruno, do you have any advice for the audience besides just do it?
Don't do it if it hurts!
You know, that's pretty sound advice.
What are they doing if it hurts?
You guys don't want to know.
I know it's something to do with sex.
Yeah, it's something to do with sex.
If it burns, fight through it!
Oh, man. Those always crack me up.
I hope you guys laughed as much as we did. Oh my gosh.
Those are just a few of our cold opens. I mean, there were other ones too, but there were so many we just couldn't fit them all in. I think those were the best of the best though.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm laughing just from that.
I realize I sing a lot.
Yeah, what is
before the
you?
Shows? I don't know. Well, we have a long history of singing on the show, you know, with Flock of Taxis and Bear on the Run.
Yeah, but you are just a singing machine over there.
Yeah, for the first couple months of the year, I was just singing all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, did you want to be on stage or something?
I missed my calling. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. But before the shows, I just get in this singing mood and I just go, go, go.
Well, you know what? You might want to follow up on that singing passion because, yeah, just from these cold opens, you sing in like half of them.
Yeah, I do. I didn't realize until I was compiling lists, I said, oh my God, all of these are just me singing. But look at how much hilarity ensued because of it.
Yep. So that's usually the cold opens that we do. Those are usually a great way to start off the show. After we do the introduction of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, we usually get into some sports. And this one was one of the craziest sports segments we've ever done.
Oh my gosh. It had, I mean, my, when they say like it was side splitting laughter, my sides were splitting. And of all subjects, I couldn't believe this. It was golf.
To find something golf, on the topic of golf that you found so amazingly interested in.
Yeah, this is honestly, I know it sounds strange saying this about golf, but it was one of my favorite sports stories of recent memory.
I did it.
Yeah, you did.
Mike likes golf.
I don't like golf, but I do like wartime golf rules.
I found this online over the weekend, and this just goes to show you how proper the golf world is.
Okay.
So, golf has been around for a while.
Right, right.
It's been around, you know, during times of peace and during times of war.
Okay.
Well, when you're in the middle of war, you might want to go golfing. Take your mind off of the extreme battles.
Wait, battles? You mean when you're literally in the middle of fighting? Or do you mean just during wartime?
During wartime.
Okay.
But you have to remember... All right, so first off, this article I found is a list of rules that were actually in place at golf courses during World War II.
Okay.
You have to keep in mind that this is after Pearl Harbor. So in response, this article came up over the weekend, and apparently at the Richmond Golf Club, they had temporary wartime rules that were in effect at the golf course in case... the Japanese or the Germans attacked.
Yes, attacked the golf course. The key strategic location in taking the wealthy communities. But the golf course is like really wide and open. It doesn't seem like that good of a strategic location. Got those sand traps, you know?
The bunkers.
Well, yeah, I guess if they have holes that are like in the middle of a lake or something, you can make like a little moat and you can be safe.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Charge!
Yeah.
All right. Well, this article came up about seven old rules that were in effect in 1940.
Okay.
In response to World War II. So it was official wartime golf rules. Are you ready for me to read it as it is?
Yes.
All right.
This is odd news stuff.
Yeah, it is. It should be in the odd news segment.
All right, what do you got?
All right. Rule number one. Pay attention. Players are asked to collect any bomb or shrapnel splinters that happen to appear on the course so that they do not cause damage to any of the moving machines.
What did they think was going to happen?
Or landscaping equipment done to the course.
What did they think was going to happen during these golf games?
Boom!
And they're just going to keep golfing.
Oh, I guess we got to keep going.
Well, I got my ball out of the sand trap. I mean, what did it say? Shrapnel and what else?
Bomb and shrapnel splinters. Just in case, man.
Just in case. So, This is assuming a few things. This is one, assuming that the Germans are going to attack the golf course. Two, that the golfers are going to stick around during the bombing in order to pick up the splinters afterwards.
We have to protect the integrity of the golf course.
Yeah. And three, the fact that they need to pick up the splinters because people might golf the next day. I mean, really? These people are absurd. It doesn't make any sense.
You know, I feel like this should be some war music here.
Yes. This is the Situation Room right here.
Yeah.
We're going over the strategy for protecting our golf courses during war.
Yes.
General
Pay
Rich.
Attention.
General Rich, read your report. What is the next golf rule for wartime golf?
Yes, Commander Costanzo.
Yes.
All right. You ready?
Proceed with your report.
Ready for rule number two?
Yes.
In competitions, during gunfire or bombs are falling, players are allowed to take cover without penalty.
Oh my god, are you serious?
Yes, you're allowed to. Thank you for asking permission.
How generous of you. Thank you, Country Club. This is absurd. The people that wrote these rules, what did they think was going to be happening on these golf courses?
They thought bombs were going to...
This is like the beaches of Normandy?
Yes! Quick, Eisenhower, give me my 3-wood, now!
Shoot around the tank! Shoot around the tank! Play it where it lies! It's on a landmine! Play it where it lies!
You cannot touch the ball from tee to green, mister!
There's a tank on top of it. I don't care.
If you can't find the ball in 3 minutes, it's a stroke penalty. Sorry, Billy.
Oh, my God. They have to, like, dodge, like, German sniper squads. Oh, man. You are allowed to take cover.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you for letting me save my life. How gracious. I am forever in your debt.
Thank you, Richmond Golf Club.
Oh, my God. So this is only 2 rules.
Yeah, I got 5 more.
Oh, I just can't wait.
Number 3.
Okay.
The positions of known delayed action bombs that are marked by red flags at reasonable but not guaranteed safe distances therefrom.
What? That doesn't even make sense. What? Are they playing Minesweeper? What is this red flag thing?
I think that's a bomb that falls, but it doesn't explode.
Okay.
So I guess the landscaper would put a red flag on it.
Watch out, there's a bomb here. Just golf around it. Talk about a hazard, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
boom.
I'm putting myself in their mind, and they're just imagining, like, constant gunfire and bombs and, like, a little groundskeeper running out there with a red flag, sticking them in bombs. Meanwhile, there's a golf game going on.
We can't stop.
We can't stop.
It's the player rules. We got to keep going.
Look, we got 18 holes to get through, okay? Not even World War II can stop this golf game from happening.
Oh, my God. All right, ready for rule number 4?
Not really, but go ahead. I mean, this is already... I don't know how much more crazy this can get.
Shrapnel and or bomb splinters on the fairways or in bunkers within a club's length of a ball may be moved without penalty, and no penalty shall be incurred if a ball is caused to move accidentally by these objects. Thank you. Wow. So gracious. Thank you.
I know. These rules are so generous, Rich. Oh, my God. I really... Oh, God, it's not going. You're already cracking up with the next one.
All right. You ready for number 5?
Yeah.
A ball moved by enemy action may be replaced, or if lost or destroyed, a ball may be dropped not nearer to the hole without penalty.
The Germans are collecting the golf balls to use as ammunition.
Was liegen! Grab the ball! Get the ball down! Stop these Americans from playing the silly game!
It was almost fresh a little bit. Oh my god, I'm not even gonna try my German accent. I'm laughing too much.
Oh my god.
I just love enemy the movements.
Yeah, enemy action.
Once again, the scene is there are bombs going off, there are enemies firing, there are now troops marching through the golf course. The groundskeeper is still marking the explosives.
Boy, what a brave man.
And people are still golfing. This image in my head just keeps growing and growing and growing.
All right. Well, you might like this next rule then.
Okay.
All right. Rule number 6. If a ball lies in a crater...
They've really covered all their bases, haven't they? Why are you still golfing if there are actual craters in the golf course? Before, it had always been splinters and shrapnel, but now they're actually envisioning huge, smoldering craters of rubble.
If a ball lies in a crater, it may be lifted and dropped, but not near to the hole, without penalty. Thank you, again.
Thank you, yeah.
Thank you for...
Well, you see, now really what they should have done, if they were smart, they would have just filled the craters in with sand. Boom, sand trap. Oh my god, this golf course is now more ravaged than actual battlefields in Europe.
It's actually worse than Normandy.
It's actually worse than some of the worst battle sites in World War II.
Alright, and the last rule.
The last one, okay.
You ready for the last one?
Yeah.
Number 7. A player whose stroke is affected by a simultaneous explosion of a bomb may play another ball from the same place. One penalty stroke!
The generosity ran out at the end.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Screw you.
That's enough.
You can't handle your golf clubs while war's going on. You don't deserve to be on the golf course.
We'll give you craters and enemy movement and gunfire, but the simultaneous explosion? That's not allowed. One stroke penalty.
Damn it, Billy.
Billy, get the hell out of here. It's always Billy's fault.
Yeah. You can't handle the bombs.
So everything that I've just described, now imagine that there are actually bombs exploding while they're golfing. It's not just the aftermath, it's actually happening right then and there.
One stroke penalty.
One stroke penalty. I want to see the golfer actually keep his score like, plus one on that hole.
So there you go. The article came out over the weekend. It was actual temporary rules that were put into effect by the Richmond Golf Club in 1940 as a response to World War II. Unbelievable.
Oh, man. General Liebig, that was some inspiring war music.
Thank you.
Thank you for your report.
Thank you,
the
Commander.
The troops needed it.
Thank you, Commander. In case the troops need to play golf.
Yeah.
It gets boring, you know, you're waiting for the next battle to take place.
Like they're scheduled. We got a battle coming up at 2:00. We can fit in 9 holes.
Yeah, come on, guys. We can do it.
Just remember the special rules.
Yeah.
This is insane. That is honestly the strangest thing, one of the strangest things I've ever heard. That is incredible.
Oh, man. There you go. Just to let you know what you have to do in case we have World War II or World War III happen when you're playing your next round of golf.
And you want to continue playing.
Yes.
As war is breaking out around you. Yeah.
I mean, come
priorities,
on.
Right?
Yes. All right.
Of course.
We're not going to stop and fight. No. It's time to play golf.
When you're on the 17th hole, you just got to keep going. You got to finish it.
You have to.
Just do it, right?
Just do it. Exactly. So that was the crazy wartime golf rules, from one of our sports samplers. That's a lot to handle in one sitting, so we'll take a little bit of a break here in this best of episode. We'll hit you with the very first promo that we ever made for the show.
Oh, yeah, an oldie but a goodie. Jukebox Zero, I think it's called, correct?
Yeah, so we'll hit you with that. To give you some memories of the past, and then we'll come back with some more best of clips that include something from our Christmas special and one of our games that we played that was a big hit. So don't go anywhere. More of the best of the Crispy Noodle Podcast still to come. We'll be right back.
And now, a secret transmission from the Crispy Noodle.
Police believe the two young men broke into a Hooters and thought the jukebox was an ATM machine.
Oh, they're so dumb.
The incident occurred at 4 a.m. Tuesday morning, and police have the surveillance footage which shows the dumb thieves stealing their musical booty.
And they got back to their place, they plugged it in, and they said, oh, there's oh. No, this is not an ATM.
Where's the money?
What is this magical device?
Are these CDs money?
Can I trade? Are these like enormous poker chips?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, how dumb do you have to be? Can I get 5 records for a dollar? I'm sorry, I can't believe it. That's like picking up an oven and it was like, oh, I thought it was a TV. Saw this big glass thing, you know, I just figured it was a TV screen.
Yeah. Unfortunately, though, you'd think with all this stuff that they'd captured the two people. They
no.
haven't. So the pickup is on the loose. It's a white or silver colored late 90s.
It's got a jukebox in it.
It's got a jukebox in it, all right?
You can't miss it. What's the make? Don't worry about the make. It's got a jukebox in the back.
TheCrispyNoodle.com.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the best of the Crispy Noodle Podcast for our summer 2015 break. We're kicking it easy during this episode. We hope you are, too. We hope that at some point during this summer you were able to relax and enjoy yourself, enjoy the weather, enjoy some time away from work, and enjoy this podcast.
That's right, with the Crispy Noodle Podcast, of course.
Yes, of course.
What's more enjoyable and relaxing than listening to our melodious voices?
Yes, arguing about random stuff from sports entertainment.
That's right.
Odd news, talking with random guests, playing silly games.
Man, that's what it's all about.
It is. You know, I mean, every time we come here to record and present to you an episode every week on Thursdays, you know, it's that's what it's all about. I love doing this.
Yeah, definitely. It's all about having a good time and making sure you guys have a good time, too.
Yeah. And that's what I love about doing these best of shows.
Is yeah.
Re-listening to the best clips that we've put together. I just have so much fun in re-listening.
I know. We have so much fun listening to how much fun we were having, you know, with all these clips.
It's fun everybody, fun everywhere. Everyone have fun.
It's an overload of fun.
Ah!
Oh no. Oh, so that's why we always go out of our way to make these specials really special. And that, of course, carries over to our holiday episodes. We always have a blast with the holiday episodes, especially, you know, this last Christmas. We went all out. We did some songs. We had some special guests on, including my mom and dad.
Yeah, we were able to get your mom and dad
on at the same time. That was impressive.
They were on, and they were willing to play a special game for us.
That's right. A game that you created, sort of Family Feud-ish like,
yeah,
that involved telling embarrassing or funny stories, simply called Jingle Balls, episode 92.
It's time to play Jingle Balls!
Yeah!
That's my updated sound effect.
You know what's funny is that Rick Murarkey, who played the Thanksgiving game with us, he said we don't have a buzzer.
Yeah, well now we got this. Woo! We upgraded.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rick.
Yeah, we upgraded.
Yeah.
All right. Is that for wrong answers or right answers?
Right answer, I imagine, would be the happy one, and the wrong answer would be the buzzer.
Yeah. Okay.
You almost sound like the guy in Breaking Bad, though. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, my.
What's it? I can't. It's not Gus. I was thinking
no.
It's not Gus. It's the other. Yeah, the other guy in the wheelchair.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, he's also in Scarface, by the way. Check it out.
Really?
Yeah. If you
wow.
If you get bored,
is he a bad guy in that too?
Yeah.
Nice. Yep.
Okay. So anyway, let's get back to Jingle Balls.
All right.
So for those that may be new to the podcast, whenever we play a game like this, I have a couple of Family Feud style questions relating to the holiday. I'll give you both a chance to answer the question. Whoever has the most popular answer between the two of you gets to pick from our crispy noodle coffee mug an embarrassing question that the other person must answer. All right? Are you down for this?
Okay, I got it.
Yeah!
Okay.
All right. He's excited. Yeah.
He's ready to go.
Okay, well, let's get rolling then.
All right.
Should we get for the first question then?
Yes, and I think my dad should get to answer the first one because my mom has been...
Yeah, you're a veteran at this
now.
Yes.
This is your second attempt at this.
Yeah.
All right.
Attempt is right.
It's always an attempt here on the show. Yeah.
We try our hardest.
Yep. All right, so Mr. Costanzo, you get the first honors. Sausages! and a celebratory sausages, why not? You ready for the first question?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. So Christmas, one of the first things you notice is the Christmas songs. They play right literally the day after Thanksgiving. It starts blaring, right?
24/7, that's right.
Yep. So, name a Christmas song that you know most of the words to.
And remember,
this has to be what most people would say, right?
Yeah, this is Family Feud, yeah. So,
I would say Jingle Bells.
Okay. Oh. You are on the board.
I was going to say White Christmas.
White Christmas.
Okay.
That is on the board as well.
Oh, all right.
All right.
Who's got the top answer?
White Christmas had 12 people online say that. But Jingle Bells, 46 people,
wow.
The number one answer. All right, starting off strong with Jingle Bells.
Okay.
All right, so now you get to pick from the Crispy Noodle mug an embarrassing question that you must ask Mrs. Costanzo, and we will see what it is. All right, is it approved?
Yes, it is approved. I'm the official question
approver. Yeah, that's what Mike's doing. Mike is the official approver of questions.
So go ahead, read that out, and Mom's got to answer it.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad I didn't get this question.
What makes you think I'm going to be happy about it?
No, you can do this. What's the most embarrassing song you belted out in your car? Give a rendition of it.
Most embarrassing song.
There's a lot to choose from, right?
Oh, my God. Okay, how about this one?
All right.
I don't know about if it's embarrassing. By embarrassing means it has to be a dumb song.
It doesn't have
just
to be a dumb song.
Yeah, just something
that
something
you would find embarrassing.
Well,
I know which one it could be.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead. Uh-oh. Tell me which one.
But I'm not singing it.
No, you don't have to sing it.
Just tell me.
The House of the Rising Sun.
Yo, yeah, you love a little Liam.
That's his song.
Oh, that's his song. Oh, okay.
That's not what I would sing.
There is a house of Costanzo.
There is a house in New Orleans. They call the rising sun. And it's been the ruins of many a poor boy.
And Lord, I know I'm one.
Yeah. There you go. You didn't even have to sing on that one and you jumped in.
Oh, he showed me up on that
one.
Yeah, wow. Bonus point to my dad.
Yeah. I think that's 2 points for your dad there. Because I never had a challenge that got stolen. So
I know. He snatched it out of my mom's grasp like that.
Yeah.
I couldn't have her say that she was a boy that went wrong. That wouldn't be good.
All right, well, there you go. So that's how the game works.
Thank you,
you guys feeling it now?
Yep.
All right.
Got it.
The next question will go to you, Mrs. Costanzo.
Okay.
Well, another popular song is the 12 Days of Christmas. Everyone loves to do the round of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here you go, right off the top of your head. Name a bird that's in the 12 Days of Christmas.
Calling bird.
Okay.
Okay.
Dad, name a bird in the 12 Days of Christmas.
A partridge in a pear tree.
Okay. What was your answer again?
4 collie birds.
Collie birds.
They're calling birds, which they mistakenly say.
Okay.
Wait, it's not calling birds?
No.
What is it?
What is it?
Collie birds. Collie,
like the dog?
C-O-L-L-Y. Hmm.
Today I learned.
Yeah, there you go. Something new every day. I do not.
French hens.
What about
that? Now you're coming.
You can't just name all the birds, Mom. You got your birds. All right.
All right. Well, unfortunately, calling birds was not on the list. Your French hen was number three. But Mr. Costanzo, partridge, number two. 32 people said it. So good job.
Which one was the first one?
Number one was turtle doves.
Oh, okay.
58 people knew that.
It would have been really cool if the first one had been a partridge in a pear tree. The second option had been turtle doves.
Oh, see where I'm going? In the same order.
Three? Yeah, exactly.
Well, now, apparently people love the turtle doves.
Apparently, yeah. All right.
So my
dad gets to pick another question out of the crispy noodle question mug.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Oh, this is going to be a good one. This is
Is it approved by Mike?
It is approved.
Okay. Mm. What do we got for Mrs. Costanzo for question number two in Jingle Balls?
Okay. What's the most embarrassing thing you've seen the other player do? Recall the entire story. Oh, my God.
So you have to recall something really embarrassing that Mr. Costanzo did.
This sounds like punishment for winning.
Oh, I can't do this on the air.
Aw.
No, embarrassing. Well, actually, he didn't do it, but something really embarrassing happened to him.
Okay,
He knows what I'm talking about.
I'm not going to say, because there's so many things I might say. The really most embarrassing thing.
Oh, you mean the one with the llama?
What?
Yeah.
One when my sister came over to the house?
Oh, my God.
What, all right, now you have to tell it. What is it?
Go ahead.
Well, anyway, one day my sister stopped in the house, and she came bursting into the house, and this is when the kids were small, and she thought John Bruno was in the bathroom toilet training. But it was my husband. She opened the door on him, and he's going, "What are you doing?" She screamed.
So your sister caught Mr. Costanzo on the toilet. That's awesome.
I did what any brave man would do. I screamed.
Did you have a newspaper in your arsenal? Or
No,
I couldn't even hide.
I don't know who screamed louder, either he or my sister. It was.
But you know, this is actually a thing with her, is that she's done it a couple times though.
Wait, yes. What?
To different people, yeah.
Storming into the bathroom?
Yeah. You know what? She did it another time, and because she did it on the first floor, she thought she'd run to the bathroom upstairs.
And the same thing happened?
Yes.
How do you catch him in the bathroom twice?
Different bathrooms.
Why is she so impatient when it comes to the toilet?
I don't know. That's a good question. I will ask her on Christmas Eve.
Yes. On behalf of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, we need to know why she is so impatient with the bathroom.
You gotta go, right?
Man.
Unfortunately, it's always my dad on the butt end of
these. How many times has she caught you in the bathroom?
On the butt end.
Damn.
I think it's just that those two times.
Twice is enough.
Twice is enough.
All right.
That's the right answer.
Well, yeah, folks, if you feel like you have an embarrassing family, look at that right there, all right? You haven't been caught on the toilet twice by your sister-in-law, would it be?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's... All right.
My.
Interesting.
All right.
All right. No more embarrassing questions.
Well, let's see. Maybe the tables will turn. We got another question, and control goes back to Mr. Costanzo. Well, Christmas, you know, it's for the kids. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, you got to love it when the kids enjoy it.
And Santa Claus and cookies and it's good stuff.
But, you know, sometimes the presents aren't exactly up to snuff, right? You know? So the question is, Mr. Costanzo, name a gift that little kids hate to get for Christmas.
Think back to when you were a kid many years ago.
Well, it's usually something that they don't want or they didn't ask for.
Mm-hmm.
I would say clothes.
Okay, clothes.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. And what do you say, Mrs. Costanzo?
What they always complain about. Underwear.
Oh, so we're getting a specific article.
Yeah, they really don't like to get underwear. And I know my sister is one of those people who does that.
Okay, I'm gonna say that falls in the same realm of clothes.
Oh, so it can't be clothes. All right. Books.
Oh. Mm. See, I'm a reader. I never had that problem.
Yeah, I know. Me neither. But.
All right, well, I'm going to give both of you guys congratulations on this one. You both got the number one and the number two answers on this. Yeah. But between the two of you, clothes was the number one answer. 70 people said clothes. But books, number two.
I know, that's surprising.
And then fruitcake or food.
Who gives a kid fruitcake?
I know. What
and
kind
who
of
gives
household?
A kid food, really? Unless it's candy.
Yeah.
I have to double check with my partner in crime over here.
That's up to you. That's your call.
If you guys have to double
your call.
Check, I don't think I want this question.
How do you feel about asking that?
That's
one?
A your call question.
How do you feel about it?
No.
I wish we had video.
No.
Okay. All right, pick another one. Pick another one. He really wants to know now.
All right, here you go. We're getting it through our authoritative feed, Michael Costanzo.
Right. Okay, this will be an interesting one, I think.
Playing jingle balls here.
Mom, you're dying over here.
I know.
Yeah, well, you're
killing me.
Yeah,
I know.
She's getting all the
Who knew he was so
answers.
Good at playing games?
He didn't even want to come on the show. Now
right.
he's just like...
Yeah, he's killing
He's
it.
Just going to clean up now.
Okay, here's the question. What's the worst pickup line you've ever used or has ever been used on you?
Oh, all right.
Okay, this is fair because I've done this.
Oh, you've done this?
Wow.
I've done this. I've done a pickup line.
Ooh, all right.
And it was, I was asking somebody out. I was asking a guy out. So I just kind of said.
And was it Mr. Costanzo?
No, it wasn't Mr. Costanzo. This was in my younger days.
Okay.
And I said, sometimes a woman's got to do what a woman's got to do. How would you like to go with me? But the first part of it, a woman's got to do what a woman's got to do.
And then, dot, 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 we should go out on a date?
Right.
Okay.
Are you busted?
I mean, I just don't see a connection, you know, responsibility. Then let's go out on a date. What? I mean, no, that's fine. You know,
that was
all right. How about the weirdest one used on you? Have you ever had a really weird pickup line used on you?
Nothing comes to my mind.
Okay.
At all. All
right. Hmm. At least you put an answer for the given
one. I mean,
so.
I know what I did.
Woman's got to do what a woman's got to do.
Want to go out?
Yeah. Ask you out.
Hey, that's as good as any other one, right?
Try that at the bar this weekend. See if it works.
Everyone, give it a shot. Yeah.
Yeah, and let us know.
You could always.
Well, you have to remember, this wasn't a time when women did not ask men out.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to go out with this guy, so I just went and said, you know, a woman's got to do what a woman's going to do, and I'm going to ask you to go out.
There you
and
go.
And he said yes.
I think that's all right. Good.
Good for you, honey.
Yeah.
You flirt on that man.
I like that.
See that? What he's doing is he's building up points now so she'll go easy on him when she gets to pick a question.
Oh, when the tables turn.
Yeah, when the tables turn.
Okay. Speaking of the tables turning, let's get to our next question.
That's never going to happen. I'm going to win all of them.
Oh.
Damn.
Wow.
Proclamation.
Trash talking already.
All right, well, this question, you get the first crack at, Mrs. Costanzo.
Okay.
Again, we'll stay with the kids' theme. But at some point, the kids should start buying presents for their parents. You know, come on.
Yeah.
Have those little bastards chip in.
Is that what you're going to say to your kids? Come on, little bastards.
Yeah, come on.
Buy me a tie.
Yeah. Tell me the age at which kids should start buying their parents' Christmas gifts.
Sorry.
Not buying the presents.
Well, yeah. I've always encouraged my kids to buy presents for their dad when they were very young. We'd go out together shopping and pick out something.
Do you remember when we were young, we used to go to the dollar store and pick out little trinkets for a dollar each for everyone? That was fun. Those are the good old days of cheap gifts, right?
And it was teaching them, you know, that it's in the giving that's better. But at what age are you asking would... Would you encourage a child to go out and buy gifts when they're old enough and have money of their own to
like
buy
a
gift?
Legit gift, too.
Like a legit gift? Well, I guess it's when they first start working. So I would say anywhere between the ages of 14 and 16.
Oh, okay, what specifically?
Well, let's say 16, because most kids will start working at 16 and have money of their own.
All right.
That's a fair answer.
Mr. Costanzo, what do you say?
I would say maybe a younger age. Because I would say maybe the parents would give the kids some money to buy a present. So I would say 10.
All right. Well, 16 was on the board. Nice one. But it was the number 4 answer.
Ooh.
Mr. Costanzo's killing it. Number 1 answer, 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is this game rigged or something?
I think it's rigged. I think Rich just wants Frank to win.
Yeah, you know what? Mr. Costanzo did give me wine earlier. That maybe he.
Oh, that's what it is.
I think you took a peek at my questions while you were getting me drunk.
Now, come on.
How could you have used me like that, Mr. Costanzo?
My answer is more legitimate. Him, he, your parents had to give them money. What's that? That's not a gift then from the kid.
Oh, this is sort of a given. I don't know, though.
Well, it's okay if it's an easy one. That's right. Fine.
He's afraid for when the tables do turn. Right. Yeah.
There's only one answer to this.
Well, we'll see, Dad. We'll see.
Name any person you would be stranded on an island with and why that person.
Okay, you can only choose one person.
That's tough. Might I remind you, as with the last game, your firstborn son is sitting right here. Teddy Roosevelt. No?
That would be interesting.
It would be interesting, yeah.
No, I don't want somebody that's more of a character. And I think, are you thinking of who I'm thinking?
What? I'm thinking you're thinking of me, but.
That's a pickup line. I'm thinking you're thinking of me.
I'm hoping it would be me, but.
Well, I guess it's
that? That's like Rocky. That's like Rocky flirting, you know. I don't know about you, but I think you're flirting with me. And,
I am the law.
He is the law.
Nothing is over.
Well.
Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
You just don't turn it off.
All right, well.
I know who this is going to be.
I mean, you could be a heartbreak. You walk down the street breaking hearts the way you're looking. Very sharp. Well,
okay. Very sharp.
No, not Rocky.
Okay.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I know who it is.
Who?
Captain Jean-Luc Picard, USS Enterprise.
No,
My mom has a thing for Captain Picard.
Yes,
really?
I do. But
What about him?
I just really think he's sexy.
Wow.
Oh, all right. Damn.
But
you have a thing for bald guys, don't you?
Yes, I do. That's why my husband's bald.
He had luscious locks until about like 15 years ago.
And then he had to get it removed.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what she's into.
Laser removal. Yeah. It was a shame.
All right. So, yeah. Who's the lucky person getting stranded with you on an island?
I was going to say Johnny Depp.
Oh, really? Okay.
Johnny Depp?
Yeah, second to my husband.
Well, where do your children fall on this list?
Just far as away as possible.
Me and John Bruno don't even register.
Get
them
as far as away as I can. Hell, this actually sounds like a good vacation idea next year.
Yeah, she's already booking it. She's on her phone typing in.
Yeah.
Island vacation with Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
He's a weird character.
Okay.
So
it'll
make it interesting.
All right, let's get to the next question here. Another big part of Christmas is the decorations. You know, you guys were putting them up right after Thanksgiving, right?
I did put some up. Yeah.
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 All right, well, then, whose turn is it? It's Mr. Costanzo's turn, I think?
Yeah, I think
so.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Costanzo, start off. Name a decoration that people put outside their house at Christmas.
Are you kidding me?
I could do this with my hand tied behind my back.
You could. That doesn't give you any advantage in this. You're just talking. Now, if you had like a plug in your mouth, you're like, that would be a disadvantage.
Well, I could be like Rush Limbaugh and say, I'll do this with half my brain tied behind my back. What was the question?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh, no.
The question, yeah.
No.
He forfeited. It's my turn.
Yeah. Look at that. Bragging all this time
after
and
all
you
that
forgot the
talk.
Question.
Yeah.
Here, maybe this will refresh you.
Sunday!
Will that help you?
No, I remember it now.
Okay.
It's
Thunder!
Christmas lights.
All right, okay. Christmas lights. What's your answer?
Well, since the number one answer was taken, I'll give the number two a wreath.
Yep, you guys did it again. Another wow. 1-2 sweep. The number one answer was lights. Yep. But I'll tell you what, that one was really close. That was 36 to 33 people said that.
That is really close.
So it would have been funny if you'd picked the number two.
Yeah. I'm just amazed that they keep on getting number one and number two.
We need to start rigging this so that your mom starts winning them.
Yeah, I know. Really, my dad has a small pile of questions over here next to him.
He has his victories littering our table right now.
Yeah, his trophies over there.
This is karma because last time I wiped up Michael.
Oh, yeah. Wow. There you go. Karma, yeah. I'm telling you. Yeah. That's why the Lions are going to get knocked out of the playoffs this year.
Bringing it back to football.
Yep. Exactly.
I'm not sure this makes sense, but I'll read it. It says, what's the worst thing about being a man / woman?
So what's the worst
thing? Okay, so what's the worst thing about being a woman? What would you say is the number one thing that sucks being a woman?
Everybody thinks it's your job at home to do everything. The cleaning, the washing, the cooking.
Do you think there's some subtle hints in here, Dad? Directed towards the two of us? I guess that's a yes. Well, I guess it's over now because we got to go do the dishes, Dad.
Yeah, apparently.
I just found out tonight that I'm the sous chef.
Oh, you are?
Let me tell you, the sous chef doesn't do anything but wash dishes and cleans up.
So you want it to be actually cooking. You don't want to wash.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. You might want to join some feminist movements. You know, they could.
Yeah, with her pickup lines and her.
That could help you. Yeah, you.
A woman's got to do what she's got to do, unless it's in the home. Apparently,
that could be the new slogan. You know.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, they'll help you women's rights and stuff.
Oh, I wish somebody would just give me a job.
Fight the man. All right.
Yeah. Men got it easy.
I gotta admit that's kind of true.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Let's move away from gender issues.
Yeah.
And let's get to the last question I have here. And this one goes to your mom. Come on.
Okay.
No.
I'm hit to the fight.
Yeah, got it.
This is the last shutout. This is the last one. You're going to get it. I can feel it.
All right. Well, this one is for the adults. All right. We've screw the kids. We've been talking about the kids enough this whole time. How about this? Let's name one thing adults are looking forward to at Christmas time. One thing adults are looking forward to at Christmas time.
Well, I know what I'm looking forward to, and that's the day after Christmas. When it's all over.
So the actual act of it being over.
Yes, because then I can rest.
Okay.
It's, you know, the 7 days, and then you get the rest.
So your favorite thing about Christmas is December 26th?
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome.
I know that's no answer on there, so I have no idea. What do I look forward? What do adults look forward to at Christmas time? Family. Being around family.
Okay, family. All right, Mr. Costanzo, for the sweep. Wow. I can't believe this. Yeah, this is going to be a sweep if he gets this right.
No pressure.
Well, the thing that I look forward to is not going to be my answer. Because I look forward to a
Christmas.
That too.
I had to.
I just couldn't resist.
No, that was just begging for it.
I was going to say what I look. This isn't going to be my answer. I was looked forward to a Christmas bonus.
Oh.
But I think most people would say giving presents to their children and watching the joy on their face.
Oh.
Okay.
It's a good answer.
Very noble. And guess what? The nobility actually is correct. He gets the sweep.
Wow.
Yeah. Giving presents was the number one answer. 29 people said that. You were right too, family, but it only came in at number 5. Apparently family's not really that big of a deal.
Well, who are you giving gifts to then? Family's not important. I guess you're giving gifts to everybody
else. I don't know. All right, here you go. As a result, another question you have to answer because of the sweep.
Uh-oh. All right. When was the last time you slapped somebody?
Oh, an actual slap. Like not
real back and just
yeah,
bam.
Like not being not like euphemisms or like I want to hit that guy. No, like you actually decided to slap somebody.
I can't remember any time she ever did that.
But maybe she does. I gotta imagine you're a very fiery woman. Like you know,
yeah. Tell me about it.
And I wait, Mike.
It was me, probably yeah. me.
Wait, a slap doesn't necessarily have to be in the face. It could be, you could smack a child.
Mm-hmm.
For being bad.
Yeah.
You smacked any children?
Smacked Mike. Yeah, you smacked Mike. Come on.
Yeah, and that would have been like 20-some years ago, I guess.
Yeah. She used to hit me with the wooden spoon.
It was 20 hours ago.
Yeah, it was just earlier today, yeah.
They clean up the table.
I wanted a cookie, and I pulled out the chair to get up on top of the counter. And
give me my juice box! I need my juice box! I said, give me it now!
You know, we're all kids. We're all kids at heart. You know, I just want a nice little juice box, a cookie. That's all I wanted. Hit me right off the counter, swatted me like a fly. Yeah.
Slam.
All right, so what's the last time you actually slapped somebody?
It was probably a smack on the behind. Probably about 20-some years ago. Yeah.
Was it to Mike or Bruno?
Both of us, probably.
Because they were always getting at it.
Oh, that's why Bruno's not here.
Yeah, yeah. Or else we would have been in fisticuffs right now.
Though I have to admit, they really didn't fight that often. And when they did, I did not hit them for that. Never, never. It had to be something.
It was always
really
for, like,
dumb.
Putting a hole in the wall or something dumb like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We were rambunctious
little
kids.
That was really a long
kids.
Time ago. Yeah. That was really a long time ago.
All right. All right, well, you know what? Mr. Costanzo's had all the fun. I know he had a sweep, and he can enjoy it, but you know what? It's time for him to get a question.
Yeah, it is.
So here you go. Mrs. Costanzo, get some revenge. Ask an embarrassing question for Mr. Costanzo.
Would you ever make an opposite gender clone of yourself? Why or why not?
Opposite gender clone?
Yeah.
He's running through all the possibilities.
So a Francesca Costanzo.
Yeah, Francesca Costanzo.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
You mean if I was a scientist and I could make an opposite gender clone?
You could make a woman version of yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean...
Go on, Dad. What would be the benefits of an opposite gender clone?
Well, just to say that you could do it. I mean, just to have a female version of yourself.
So it's purely scientific?
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be really cool.
Would you say anything to your clone?
You really would like to be a woman?
No, I would like to make...
There's the truth of the matter.
No. He wouldn't be a woman. He would have a clone of a woman version of himself.
Yeah, I would be a scientist making a clone of me, but it would be a woman.
Yes.
And, well, I don't know.
What would you say to her?
How you doing?
No sausages. No sausages. No sausages.
Sausages!
That is the perfect response.
Yep. There you go.
No sausage. No literally.
That's exactly what I would say.
Oh, my God. Oh, well, there you go, folks. That has been Jingle Balls. I would like to thank Mrs. Costanzo and Mr. Costanzo for putting up with this wacky game. Mr. Costanzo with the sweep coming in as a newbie into this game.
I can't.
Sweeping the veteran.
I can't believe it. It was
thank
amazing.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be on the show.
Yeah.
We loved having you.
Yeah. Don't be a stranger. We need more of you on the show.
Okay. I'll do it.
Right. He's very like, okay. Very, very passionate about his work here on the podcast. Oh my gosh. That's from the Christmas special. And by the way, if you're feeling like a little bit of Christmas in the summertime, go back and re-listen to that episode. That's such a funny episode.
You can listen to me destroy my vocal cords singing some crazy songs.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta admit, like, that's the one episode where I don't do any work. Cause, like,
I love Christmas. Yeah, I love Christmas.
Yeah, cause there's singing and I can't sing, so that's all you, Mike.
Well, the next one, you're definitely singing, Rich. I'm gonna get you to sing. Look, I did all the singing in the cold opens and at Christmas. Come on, man.
I suck at singing.
But so do I.
But I'm a rapper, damn it. Aren't you hip to the rap music? These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping. I rap.
Oh, okay. So you're more of a poet.
Yes.
And you didn't even know it.
I rap about important things like the hoes.
The hoes. The hoes are very important.
Yes.
These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
So there you go. I rest my case.
There you go. That was a big confession on your part to bring up something like that. The fact that you rap about hoes.
Yes.
And speaking of confessions, Rich.
Here's another great game that we did.
Yeah, we were in a very game-playing mood this past year, weren't we?
Yeah, I think it brings a new element to the show.
It does.
When you have guests, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good way to have them open up about something.
Exactly.
You know? And that's what you do with confessions, and that's what we had with this segment with Rick Morarkey and Chris Nee of the Academic Probation Tour earlier this summer. We played a great game called Crispy Noodle Confessions, episode 120. For the first time ever, we are going to try and do Crispy Noodle Confessions. Yeah. So, I'm not going to lie. I saw this bit happen on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and I thought this would be a good idea.
Okay. All right.
So, essentially, before we even got together tonight to record the podcast, I asked everybody here to give me an interesting story or an interesting tidbit about themselves, one that is absolutely true and another one that is absolutely false. And I've put them all in these lovely envelopes. I actually did envelopes.
Wow.
You're getting professional.
I know.
Yeah. I like it.
I know. I'm stepping this up.
We have physical props now, people.
Yes.
Rick says, I'm the businessman. Jeez.
So, yeah, right now I'm handing the envelopes out. My middle initial is M, so sometimes I'm like, what? But
look
anyway.
At this.
Yeah, I know. I have it all.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Everyone's got
awesome.
An envelope.
All right.
So, what
do we open them?
Well, here's what we're going to do. Okay. We're going to eventually...
You hand me an envelope. I want to open it.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah.
Rick's already at
you
it.
You can hear the paper. Yeah, perfect.
This is Jackson on 93. No.
So, the game goes as follows. One person will have the story. We'll open up one of the envelopes so that the other three people don't know whether or not it's the true or the false story. I don't even know. So I'm going to even be a participant in this game. We'll open up one of the envelopes. That person will read the story that's on it. And then the other three people will have 60 seconds to interrogate that person. And when I mean interrogate, you have 60 seconds to rattle whoever the person is that has the story. So you can come at them, you know, you can ask weird questions about the story. And the idea is for the three people to try and determine whether or not is that the true story or the false story. So, you guys want to try this out?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Mind you, I'm a son of an attorney.
Oh.
Which means mines are not going to be good.
So, should I be worried about
no.
this? All right. Well, because this is the guinea pig kind of go around for this, I want Mike to be the first person up.
Yes. Of course. Of course you would.
Because he's the professional.
Okay. Do I tell you which one I'm opening?
No.
Okay.
Should we open up one or two? What do you guys want to do?
One? I don't care.
You don't
How about
care?
He opens one, he opens two, you open one, I'll open two.
Okay, so he's going to open one then? All right, so open up one.
I have to open. Should I open it in front of the mic?
You want the sound effect? Oh, yeah.
Oh,
there it
yeah.
is.
There it goes.
All right, so you're opening MC1.
MC1 is being opened right now. I'm trying to get the story out.
Yeah.
I have acquired it.
All right, so Mike, what does yours say?
All right, mine says that when I was 8 years old, I forced my younger brother, John Bruno, to sign a written contract to be my indentured servant until he was 18 years old.
All right. So I have a 60-second timer here,
And when it starts, we'll start asking questions. Are you ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, it's time for you to be interrogated. Let's go. Rick, ask the first question.
Is that really your brother?
Yes, my brother's name is John Bruno.
Does he have your color eyes?
I have not looked into his eyes much, but I think we have the same hazel-colored eyes, yes.
How long was the actual contract?
How long was the actual contract?
Yes.
You mean length on
yes.
the paper?
Yes, how many papers?
It was about a page
Tell
long.
Tell us, goddammit!
I was 8 years old, it was a page
you
long.
You want the truth?
Are you sure?
I'm absolutely sure, yes.
Okay.
It basically amounted
did
to...
Did you type this out?
No, I wrote it.
You wrote it, okay.
Yeah. We didn't have a computer at the time.
What color crayon? It wasn't in crayon, it was in pencil.
Yeah, what color?
Pencil color.
Yeah, what color? There's colored pencils.
It was just regular lead pencil color.
Are you lying to me?
Yes, I am. No,
I
I'm not.
Was lying to me.
Am I lying?
Yeah, I don't know. This, sounds, this sounds
Why are you sweating?
Because I always sweat.
Okay.
Why you gotta draw attention to that?
Why did you do indentured servitude?
Why'd you do 18? Because in my little kid's mind,
Mike?
That is when...
Why didn't you do 20?
Because that's when you become an adult is 18.
Yeah, but then if you do it 22, you could buy you beer for a year.
I was 8 years old. I didn't think that far ahead.
There
I just
go.
Wanted somebody to get me a glass of water and to give me the best toys.
Were you bigger than him?
Yes.
There you go.
You could have done it anyway. I call bullshit.
All right, yep. Rick has his answer. Rick is saying it's false. What
I'm
about
gonna,
you, Chris?
I don't know. I'm going to say it's true. I believe him.
Going to okay. say it's true?
I believe you.
You know... Here's the thing. I know Bruno as well. And mm-hmm. Bruno, as much as he has been an associate producer for our show, he can be a little bit gullible. I can see him signing something like this. I'm going to go true. So, Mike, what is – we got two truths and Rick is calling bullshit.
How are you going to know if it's true or false, by the way?
Because he says it.
Well, he could be lying about that.
No, this is actually true.
Woo!
Did
Whoa.
Force my brother to sign a contract when I was 8 years old to be my quote-unquote slave.
Did you get it notarized?
I didn't, and that's why he got out of the contract just 2 years later.
Never.
I know. I messed up. I should have gotten it notarized, but I didn't.
There he is.
Hold on. Wait,
there
wait.
There he is.
For 6 years now.
He just said he's been a slave for 6 years.
He found the loophole.
So there you go.
Yeah,
true story
true,
from Mike.
True.
Wow.
Quite he still has the ball and chain on his leg. It's weird.
Yeah. If you go downstairs in the basement, the shackles are still in the wall.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to stop before I dig myself a hole.
Well, that's how the game is played. I mean,
I like
sound
it.
Good?
That was fun.
I like that.
Okay. All right. Well,
I kind of want to do the second one now. Well, we all know it's
well,
false.
The good news is your turn's done.
I'm done.
Oh. So how about we do Rick? Rick, you want to go up next?
Rick, sure, we're going to do on. You.
All right, wait.
See, no, he's opening all the envelopes.
Yeah, all the envelopes.
Yeah, you're going to read both of them, right? And then we.
Am I reading both of them?
No, no, you're going to read one of them.
Damn it!
Which one do you want to read?
Yeah, how about that?
They're both so good, right?
Yeah.
Bullshit. All
right. I'll do
yeah. I'm calling bullshit
I'm calling
already
bullshit
on whatever
already
you pick.
At stake.
All right. Okay. I'll do this one. All right. This is part of my act. I did a bit about walking in on my parents. It was one of the first jokes I've ever written. And I do a joke on the biggest fear that we have is coming home, and every single kid, whether they want to believe it or not, has walked in on their mom and dad doing something. And I remember that very vividly. But I turned the joke into, I walked in on my parents like last week. And I go into this whole bit on how I walked in on them. And how, like, I was rushing home from my aunt's house, and this is actually true. And I knock on my parents' front door, and my dad's all out of breath, and he yells to me, hold on. Why? Why hold on? The middlest thing is like, why? All of a sudden, I open up the door, because it's my parents' house, and I have a key, and I see my dad and my mom run upstairs. Apparently, they were doing it on the couches in the living room. Now, I don't live in my parents' house anymore, so when I sleep over my parents' house, I sleep downstairs on the couches.
So don't pull out a black light.
Yeah. So apparently my parents were – and I'm like, Dad, really? I sleep on them. And he's like, I'm 65. I'm not going up steps. But he makes a good point. So I do the whole bit at Helium during one of my first shows. I had no clue that my mother was in the audience. She then proceeds to stand up and yell at me with, "Richard," that said, "I know I'm in trouble." "Richard, that didn't happen. You're lying." That got more laughs than the actual joke. And yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. We got to interrogate him. Is this truth or bullshit? Let's start the clock. All right. So where did you tell this joke?
Helium.
It was helium. How long did it take you from the beginning of the joke to when your mom like stood up and said, "This is"? This
she waited till the very end of the joke.
Wait till the very end.
Yeah.
Okay. And you guys got a question?
Was your dad there?
Yeah, he was laughing his ass off.
Yeah,
he was laughing hysterically like the whole time. Did he doesn't get embarrassed. He likes it.
Did the couch smell funky when you slept on it after that day?
Yeah, it was a little sticky too.
Mm.
it was a little warm.
What was your dad wearing when he answered the door?
He wasn't wearing anything.
He was butt naked.
No, he was running up the steps with my mom.
You said he answered the door.
No.
Was he wearing?
He answered
chaps?
The door from the other side. Like, hold on.
Oh, okay.
It was good though.
Did they use any birth control?
Yeah.
Wow, Rich, jeez.
I hope. My dad uses the pull-out method.
There you go.
Apparently not that good enough. He only missed twice. All right. We lost Rich.
Yeah, he's gone. Was that the end of the timer?
Yeah, that's the end of the timer. So good timing.
20 seconds of that was devoted to Rich just laughing.
True. I'm going true. Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
I'm calling bullshit.
Honestly, I think it might be bullshit, too, because he mentioned that his mom is coming to this new show, and it made it seem like she hasn't been to a show before. So I'm going to say bullshit.
What's
it's actually
answer?
True. That was the last show she's ever been to, though.
That's why she has.
That is not bullshit.
Epic.
That is a true story.
Nice.
That is awesome.
All right, so there you go, Rick, with that one.
I tried to come up with a fake story, and I didn't have to. Oh. Damn you, Rich. I spent 35 seconds coming up with that fake story.
Sorry. There's some things.
By the way, the fake story is way not as funny. I'm like, I did a show, and I tripped on stage, and I knocked over the guy. That's stupid. That's how funny that story is. That's why I like my comedy, because the true stuff is actually funnier. But go ahead.
All right. Chris, I believe it is now your turn.
All right.
Which one are you pulling, one or two?
I pulled number two.
All right, number two. What does it say? Yeah, he's going number two over here.
All right. Yeah.
Should we give us some privacy?
All right. I have irritable bowel syndrome, which is IBS.
True.
So randomly, I some days I could eat or drink something, and next thing you know, I'm sitting on the toilet and pooping for an hour. When I was 11 years old, I was at a carnival with my cousin, my brother, and my two other cousins, and I guess the mixture of the rides, the popcorn, the cotton candy, and everything didn't sit well with me. So when we were driving home, I had to shit really, really bad. Like, it got to the point where, like, you're asking God to help you, and you're like, "Yo, God, just please help me hold this in, and I swear to God, I'll take the trash out, I'll do whatever my parents tell me, just please let me hold this in." But it was go time. I couldn't. So I told my cousin to pull over, and he did. I jumped out of the car, and I took a shit on a random person's tree in the middle of the night, and I wiped my ass with his leaves. And then I just let all this shit, like, it was just there, and I walked away and proceeded to go home.
Wow. All right, but now it is our job to interrogate him, and we're going to start with Mike. The clock begins now.
Where was this carnival?
This carnival was at St. Denis in Havertown.
Okay.
How old were you?
I was 11 years old.
How old was your cousin?
My cousin, I had three cousins in the car. Two were 22 and 23. One was 9, and my brother is 13 at that time.
Okay,
he's
you're not good at
math.
That's 5 people on the car.
I was on academic probation in community college.
I'm going to call bullshit because of that.
So, yeah, how many people were in the car then?
It was my two cousins up at the front.
How many people were in the car?
I had three cousins, my brother and me. It was 5. It was 2 in the front and 3 in the back.
Okay.
So why didn't you just shit on your brother? He made him a slave like Punta Kinte and Roots.
Because he was older than me. I wouldn't have been able to. It's like, my brother was
maybe
like...
Maybe you weren't that good at this business thing.
My brother was like 6 foot.
Hey, Mike, you
want
to be the manager? 6 foot, 12-year-old?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
He grew... His puberty was crazy.
Yeah.
He was shaving at 12.
Well, he's kind of hairy, so...
Okay, what do we think about this story?
Rick Mike. Says bullshit. What do you guys have?
Mike, who's apparently a slave owner at this point...
God. How's a slave owner going to judge me?
Because he's a white slave, so it doesn't count.
Oh, my God.
It's called white guilt. Look it up. Sorry. That made me sound really bad. I like how that made me sound really bad. All the stuff I said today. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna say true. I don't know why. I'm just going to say true.
Because he thinks you shit on things. Randomly.
Seems like a believable scenario.
He is from Delco.
I'll go true.
The story is 110% true. I swear to God. I took a shit on a random person's tree. And the only thing, I wrote a bit about it. I was like, could you imagine if that dude walked out on me taking a shit?
What
tree.
The hell's going on?
Oh my God.
All right, so just
God.
By probability, yours has to be false. Because there's no way
they're going to have four true stories.
I mean, that's the way it should be.
All right, well, Rich, now's the moment of truth.
All right,
so.
Yeah, I guess it's my turn.
I had sex with a woman. False! Bullshit!
All right, I got one and two. Which one should I open?
I don't know.
So,
care. Two.
Two?
It okay. felt good when I was inside her.
She said, call me Caitlin. By the way, listen, he's got all that money. He's got boobies now. Fix your hands.
There you go.
He could still, like, palm a grapefruit.
It's the old Seinfeld man hands, right?
It is. Yeah. And I don't like Seinfeld. That's the first thing I thought. I know. You're going to punch me in the face. I didn't like Seinfeld at all.
That is the biggest no-no for you being a comedian.
I know. No, it's not, because it's a ripoff of Taxi.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me this.
I did.
A couple weeks ago.
I think you talked about that before.
Yes, it is. Mm. But good. And it works out this well. That hush that falls over everybody because it's like, Seinfeld! I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Jerry Seinfeld. Who, by the way, killed Jesus, if you learn. No, I'm kidding. Told you I would get worse.
There's still tons of show to go.
Yeah, stay tuned.
So, Rich, I got to hear your story. What do you got for us? Right.
Mine is... I saw a priest bless a plunger in the back of a church because he claimed that he had to use a holy object to unclog a holy drain.
I thought you were going to say a holy shit.
Come on.
That
it was
been.
Right there. That was a softball.
Okay, a holy shit if you want there me to go that route. All right, I'll give
I
you guys.
I call bullshit.
Give you go,
I call bullshit just for that.
Here I call bullshit because it was the worst story I've ever heard. You put zero effort into this.
Or
you have an extremely boring life.
What
your priest
boring life.
Are
what?
Boring plungers.
I don't know if you want to reveal this, but what was the priest's name?
Todd.
Am I allowed to? I guess so. I'll do Father McA. That was. I don't want to give his whole name.
Okay.
Because he doesn't have a full name.
Exactly. What church was this at?
This is where I worked. Epiphany.
Which is Epiphany?
Yeah.
Okay. Epiphany, yeah.
And what year was this?
I would say...
Wait, I went to Epiphany. It's a different Epiphany.
It's probably a different Epiphany.
Yeah.
2004?
Yeah.
So this happened in your freshman year of high school?
Yes. Freshman year of high school was 2004?
Yeah.
I graduated college in 2002.
Who clogged the drain?
I have no idea, actually.
His holiness.
His holiness. His holiness.
It was at the pump in a drain.
There you go. It was holy shit.
What color was the plunger?
It was a regular plunger. It was red. The ending was red.
He's stuttering a lot. He's stuttering a lot. I don't know.
It was a regular plunger.
It was a real plunger.
It's a Catholic church. They know they shit on the altar boys there.
There we go.
That's why they wear the long coats. That's what robes are for.
So
I'm gonna
call bullshit.
Bullshit.
That was actually true.
Damn.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing ever because I was.
And the second weirdest thing is you should have seen what he did to the plunger.
Now see, that was a softball. Yes,
there oh you go. God.
Richard, come in here. Father, at least switch to the metal handle. This wood's killing us. This plunger's like 25 years old. It's got splinters.
And when you're done, he goes, we are.
Oh. Oh, kid of shit. He's dead anyway.
We went there.
Oh, yes.
I used to do a whole Penn State bit, and I love it. I don't care. They touch fucking boys.
He puts the lotion on the skin.
The guy's like, he's the greatest football coach ever. Oh, he molested a 12-year-old. A bunch of them. Like a whole team worth of them.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't care if he's...
What was the assistant coach, not Paterno?
Well, there you go.
I killed that, by the way. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
Having those guys on is always a blast.
Yeah. I mean, every time Rick Murarchy is on.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to see what's going to come out of his mouth because he just.
You think we're random. Oh my gosh, you haven't even heard random yet until you've heard Rick Murarchy on this podcast. And then double that when Chris Nee came on with him.
Oh my gosh.
In episode 120. I mean, it was just, I don't think I said anything the entire episode. I was laughing so much.
Honest to God,
they were.
So there you go. That's another great episode if you want to check that one out. Rick Murarchy and Chris Nee on the podcast episode 120. But, you know, we hit you with two big game segments. Maybe you're a little tired from the game segment, so we'll go for a quick break. But do not go anywhere because we still have a couple more of the best of clips to play, including something from the infamous backwards episode we did.
Oh, my God.
That was just sheer chaos.
Yes, it was.
And then a lovely story, if you will.
Something to warm our hearts.
Something to leave you believing in true love.
I can't wait.
So, don't go anywhere.
No, don't go anywhere. But in the meantime, we just mentioned Rick Murarchy and Chris Nee. We have a promo coming up, our latest one, Mr. Miyagi's Hooker Farm.
Yes. So we'll play that, take a break, and hit you with the last clips that we got. This is the best of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Don't go anywhere.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
All right. In this story, we have an Asian man in Alabama who is offering $10,000.
That's his first mistake. If you're Asian and you're in Alabama,
yeah, he's lost is what he is.
Yep. Oh, what all this? What is gun rack? Roll Tide. I love a bear of blinds. Very good. Roll Tide.
The Asian man in Alabama is offering $10,000 to anyone.
That's 4 billion yen.
$10,000 or 4 billion yen to anyone who can set him up on a date that leads to a relationship that lasts at least 6 months. 29-year-old Ren Lu Yu.
Just give it to the broad. She'll take you.
Yeah.
Tell her some payment plans. You win.
$10,000 in 6 months. What is that going to do? You just get that $10,000, go get the finest hookers you want and bang her out, and then you're good. Like... what is 6 months got to do?
Chinese dude wearing $10,000 hookers. You know what $10,000 can buy you in hookers in Alabama? They can buy you like a hooker farm.
They're like, he's winning.
If he doesn't like teeth, he can get it for 10 cents.
Oh, he said like a bargain deal.
I got to hear more about these hooker farms.
Yeah, right?
We need to know more about these hooker farms. Good.
Are they naturally raised?
Grass-fed. Best sucky sucky for $42. They come from bonsai tree. When he's banging, he goes, Osado, Esiodo, Kamotikadio. That's from the Karate Kid.
Yeah, you mixed it.
Daisa, come here.
Mr. Miyagi, crane kicking.
No, hookah farm, come here. Banzai, Daniel-san.
Banzai!
He walks in. What kind of hooker can I get?
Choose.
Wax on or wax off?
Up, down! In, out, in, yeah. Out, in. Ooh, that feels good. In,
Daniel-san, remember when I told you paint the fence?
and then sand the floor.
Yeah, you're the best story.
Nothing I'm gonna keep down.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Yeah, we're back here on the very best of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're doing this, you know, taking a little summer break for 2015. Why not?
That's right. But we're not leaving you high and dry. We're hitting you with the very best we've done over the past year. Hope you're enjoying it so far. But we have even more in store for you guys.
That's right, including this next bit here, which is just utterly ridiculous.
I don't even know what we were thinking.
Well, this was pretty much just, I said something and I asked if you wanted to run with it and you said sure.
Yeah.
And this is what you get for letting me take full control of the show.
I think the reasoning behind it was because we were a week off somewhere. Like we needed 1 week before we did like a special or something. So we filled the gap with this incredibly creative and nonsensical episode, Rich. Go ahead. Since it was your baby, you tell us all about it.
Yeah, I came up with this idea that we should have an episode where all the topics are just thrown around in no particular order, and we called it the backwards episode, and there is a reason and
yes.
a storyline.
We had a storyline for all the segments being out of order.
Yes. So here you go. This was our expert reasoning as to why we needed to do a backwards episode. Let's play the clip. Mike, is there something beeping behind you?
Yeah, wait, what is this? This is our news bulletin thing.
Oh my gosh, we actually have a news bulletin to report.
What's happening?
Mike, I actually have a news bulletin.
Okay.
From Turkmenistan.
Turkmenistan?
Yes, it'll be up if I can pronounce the country.
I've never heard of Turkmenistan before.
Yeah,
what is happening? Why are we getting a news bulletin from them?
Well, we're communicating via their internet service, Turkmenticalum.
Okay.
Turkmentelecom.
Is that like Google or?
I think it's the internet provider of Turkmenistan.
So it's Turkmenistan Comcast.
Turkmenicalum.
Okay, so what does Turkmenicalum say?
Alright, well, it looks like I've got an official bulletin from President Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov. Shut up, Mike. Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov. That's what I'm going with. How you doing, President Kirby? Well, apparently it's Flag Day in Turkmenistan today. You want your random bit of information for today? Happy Flag Day, Turkmenistan!
Happy Flag Day, Turkmenistan, and President Gerbil.
Gerbil. It's President Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov.
Burger Mandel?
Yes.
Burger Mandel.
Burger Mandel, yes.
Howie Mandel.
Okay, yes. So there you go. It's apparently Flag Day there. And so things are going smooth over there with the celebrations. Happy Flag Day.
Happy Flag Day to all of Turkmenistan.
Yep. But also, apparently, this news bulletin just came in. Apparently,
another news bulletin.
The door to hell is opened up.
What? The door to hell?
Yeah. The door to hell is a natural gas field in Turkmenistan.
Oh my gosh!
And they have no idea what's going on with it.
This sounds very, very strange and odd. Almost like something out of the Twilight Zone.
Prepare to enter a world without time-space.
Or space-time.
Yep, we have a lot of strange logic here on the show.
That's got to be one of the strangest intros we've ever done between the weird... I mean, Turkmenistan Flag Day, Rich.
Yeah!
Before the episode, I saw him researching...
By the way, that was true.
It was true, yes.
That was
true.
Actual Turkmenistan Flag Day.
Before the episode, I got to give people a glimpse into the behind the scenes. Before the episode, I see Rich just furiously researching something and taking notes, copious notes, writing down on the back of the rundown all these things. I'm like, what is he doing? We get into the episode. He didn't tell me anything. And he just goes, Turkmenistan Flag Day. And I go, okay. I'm just going to run with it. I'm just going to hope for the best. And it was fantastic. It was great. I loved it. As you can tell, nothing stops us. You hit me with Turkmenistan Flag Day, and we just kept going.
Yep. That's what happens when you let me take full control of the show.
That's the beauty of it, though, is like it's slightly unhinged, you know?
Thank you, Mike.
Oh, so good. But like everything we do on this podcast, Rich, we try and make sure and verify that everything is super accurate, which is what you did for this final segment.
Oh, yeah, this one I think goes down as one of the best segments we've ever done.
I know this was one of my favorites, and when you told me this was all true and you found it and you tried to verify it as best as possible, I just couldn't believe that the people actually wrote these crazy things.
Yep. So let's launch into it. Bless your heart, this is the best true misconnections from Craigslist ever. On the internet. You know, have you ever been on Craigslist?
Yeah. I mean, I've never bought anything on Craigslist, but I know of the website. I've seen it before.
Well, if you go under the personals segment of Craigslist, there's a page called Missed Connections.
Okay, yeah. That's where they're like, you know, person in coffee shop with blonde hair. You bought a bagel, I bought a coffee.
Yeah.
We were meant to be.
Yeah, it's for, you know, maybe you saw somebody you thought was really attractive, but you were nervous. And you didn't say hi to them. This is like your second chance to try and reconnect with them.
Yeah, that never works, though.
No, it doesn't. But that doesn't stop people from trying.
Right.
And I have in my hand the strangest missed connections personals of Craigslist.
Oh, this is
that have been posted. I figured since next month is February.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to need to start trying to hook these people up.
Yeah, they have these missed connections.
Yes. So as a public service here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, I extend a helping hand to try and find out these people with these missed connections.
Okay.
So please.
Maybe we can be like Cupid and connect these missed connections.
Yeah. So if you'll please indulge me, Mike.
Okay.
This is the strangest missed connections that we're going to try and find out.
I can't wait to hear these. You have music.
Yeah, you know, we're trying to get these people together.
Oh, wow. I like it.
So our first one, we're reaching out to Edmond, Oklahoma.
Okay.
So, hey, ladies, keep an ear out if you're in Edmond, Oklahoma. A real post. You was taking orders at the counter of Taco Bell on 2nd Street and Santa Fe. Our eyes kept...
True love over Cortina Crunch Shrimp Supremes.
Our eyes kept locking onto each other. I just wanted to say that you are very beautiful. I hope you see this and get back with me. I would like to talk to you.
Oh, that's touching.
Boy. My heart's melting right now.
Yeah, just like the cheese on my Crunchwrap Supreme.
Yes.
Oh, you gave me 3 tacos, all soft shells, but they became hard shells. Yes. When I saw your eyes when you put the meat into the taco shell, I thought about putting... I'm not going there. Oh, you can fill in the blanks.
Are you ready for our next missed connection?
Yeah, I don't know if we can top that one. But
we're going to go...
Where's the music going?
I've got it going. Don't worry. I've got
this
it going.
This is amazing. You put so much work into this.
All right, our next missed connection goes out to Danbury, Connecticut.
Okay, so Danbury, Connecticut?
Yep, it's a real town.
Okay.
So
why do all these weird things happen in weird towns? Edmund and Danbury?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so you fine ladies of Connecticut, here you go. This might be you. You were the tall brunette with the near-perfect body that farted in the bread
section. What? It smelled of eggs and... sour meat. Like, what the... I want to smell your farts for the rest of my life. No, come on.
I was the tall guy next to you that looked over and asked, was that you? You replied, no, it wasn't me.
This is so stupid. This is like a really bad sitcom.
But as the stink grew, you continued to deny your flatulence. It was evident, though. I tried to get rid of the fart by waving... by waving two loaves of ciabatta bread. You are beautiful, and even
who wouldn't want this guy, yeah.
You are beautiful, and even if you are a liar and fart like a horse, I'd love to meet up sometime.
Oh my god. That's how you win a lady's heart.
Yep. Right? So
calling them a liar and saying they smell like a horse.
Hey man, it's
you
all
smell
about
like
love.
A horse and I want to ride you that, all night long.
That's true love, you know. I don't care what you smell like, you're so beautiful.
I love that line. And I looked over and said, was that you? And you looked back and said, no. That's almost as good as the sand conversation in Star Wars Episode 2.
Oh my god.
Alright,
let's get to the next one. You know,
I don't know if I can handle these. Was that you? No. Even though you're a liar and you smell like a horse.
You know what? This segment wouldn't be complete without a Florida one. So why not?
Good lord.
This one goes out.
Okay.
This one goes out to the ladies in Orlando, Florida.
Ah, Orlando.
Yep, this might be you. Let's go with this one. I had an extra half hour in my hotel room to myself. I was extremely horny and kind of feeling adventurous. I decided to go out on the hotel balcony in hopes that a woman would see me, but I was pretty sure nobody would. Well, you did see, and I decided not to stop doing what I had to do.
I
would have shown you everything, but it looked like you pulled out your camera phone, and I did not want to be on your camera phone. Camera phones scare me. I quickly finished.
Oh my God. You shouted
something at me. What did you shout at me? I would love to chat and find out. Boy, man. Class.
Yeah.
Right here. Class.
I finished quickly.
Yes.
Thank God for that. Oh, man. I love how as you're reading, you come to the realization, oh, he's jacking off. But he started while he was inside because he said, I had to finish what I started.
I had to finish.
Yes. So that means he starts inside. He's like, it'd be nice if I was actually, you know, I don't know. This is just too weird.
All right.
I didn't think anyone would see me, but you did.
All right, let's
go. I think she pulled out the camera phone to photograph the illegal act.
Yes. But he did not like camera phones. That scares
him. Finished quickly.
That scares him.
He can finish on demand, apparently. Camera phone got finished. Oh my god. Camera phones scare him.
Alright, let's go to Texas.
Good old Texas.
Texas is very romantic, right?
Yeah, the Lone Star State. You got, I don't know, what do you got in Texas?
The Alamo.
The Alamo.
It's very romantic.
The site where hundreds of people died. So romantic.
So romantic.
So romantic. You go to the Alamo, you look at half torn down building and you think, yeah. Yeah, this is true love. Did they meet at the Alamo?
Alright, this is San Antonio, Texas. So
okay.
All the ladies out in San Antonio, Texas.
I love how these are all guys.
Yeah, they're all guys. Yeah, no, sorry. Girls don't do this.
No.
Alright. So, this next one is San Antonio, Texas.
Ooh, music change. This is the most amazing segment we've ever had. I'm so excited. All right, go ahead.
Yes, I had sex with your mother.
There you go. No need to read anymore. That's the one for all the ladies.
Nope.
Oh, it gets better.
Yep.
Okay. And you see, I thought the girls would have been tripping over themselves to get to a guy like this.
Yes,
I had sex with your mother.
Yes, I had sex with your mother. I am sorry, but I cannot change that. I spent most of my life searching for that special relationship, and I threw it all away on a drunk whore. No offense to your mother.
Wow.
But look, what we need to do...
No, you can't say a drunk whore and then say no offense.
But what we need to do is move on. Yes, I am still married, but I love you. Let's make this work. I want to get high and watch Disney movies naked like we used to do. I love you.
Like we used to do?
Yep.
This is somebody he knows.
Yep.
It's not a misconnection then.
He wants to get back with her.
He wants to get...
And such romance.
Clearly,
right here.
The way to get back with an ex is to have sex with her mother, call her mother a drunk whore, and then say, we just gotta move on.
It's the graduate plan. That works, right?
Yeah.
You have sex with the mom, that impresses the daughter? No, that doesn't. No.
No.
Okay. Let's move on to...
Oh,
this one's a weird one. San Diego, California.
Okay.
I'll just read it as it stands.
All right.
Me in a horse costume. You in a chicken mask.
What?
We made out in the second stall in the men's room outside of Hall D at the San Diego Comic Con. Same place, same time next year. I'll love you and I'll wear a llama costume.
Whoa, man.
Oh, yeah. Turning it up.
Here's a llama. There's a llama. And another fuzzy llama. Llama, llama, duck.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do this one. Out in Middle Village, New York.
Village?
Yep.
Is that like the village in the middle?
Yes. Good one.
Well, I mean, why do you call your town Middle Village? How creative are you? Is there a village to the left and a village to the right?
And
stuck in the middle with you.
Yeah, there you go. It's right there.
Middle Village.
All right.
Okay.
In Middle Village, New York. Ladies, this might be you. Quote, you were in my confessional booth at Our Lady of Eternal Hope, and you confessed to a bunch of stuff like cursing, impure thoughts, and stealing a fish dinner.
Stealing a fish dinner? Okay.
I snuck a peek at you as you were leaving, and I noticed you were smoking hot.
Whoa.
All you have to do is respond with the number of Hail Marys I told you as penance, and I'll know it's you.
Oh, man.
All right,
Those raunchy priests.
One more for the road.
Okay.
And this happened, and this one was posted in Midtown, New York.
Wait, what? There's Middle Village?
In Midtown, yes.
Midtown.
A lot of middles.
I guess so.
And that's where all the creepy misconnections are.
So don't go to the towns in the middle. The towns on the outer edges, those are fine.
Yes.
Okay.
So one more.
Okay.
Quote, I know this is a long shot, but I was behind you in line at the bank when the robbers came in and shouted, hit the floor. You were a tall, lovely woman with earmuffs holding some kind of tool.
Some kind of tool, okay.
Our eyes met under the desk. I picked up your purse to hand to the robber. I noticed you had an odd spoon in there.
What's happening in this story?
I would have asked you.
I gave your purse to the robber.
I would have asked you for your number, but the gunman told us not to move or talk. But I think we made a connection while we lost our credit cards that day.
The connection was she was super pissed that you gave her purse to the robbers.
If this is you, tell me what bank it was and I'll know it's you.
I hope
you see this and we could get coffee sometime.
And I'll give your purse to someone else. Oh, Jesus Christ.
So there you go, lovely ladies.
So many available bachelors to choose from. You have the mother effer, The horse costume. The rowdy priest. Yep. And the guy that gives away your purse to others. I'm sure there were... the accusatory fart sniffer.
Yes.
Ladies, so many.
If you're feeling lonely, you might want to check out those missed connections on Craigslist.
With Valentine's Day just around the corner.
It might be you. And there you go. Bless your heart. That's what I have for you on the odd news for this week's episode of the Chris Mutal Podcast. Oh my gosh.
Ciabatta bread.
Ciabatta bread.
That's all you need. Ciabatta bread. I have no idea.
I still don't understand.
Hey, it's a good type of bread, but I mean, just, that's the type of stuff you get. And it's all true, right? As far as we know, it's all true.
That was all posted on Craigslist. Oh my gosh. Just ridiculous stories.
Oh man. That's why you gotta, that was in our odd news segment, right?
Yep.
You gotta love the odd news.
Yep. The odd news always providing hilarity wherever we go.
Oh boy. All right.
You know what? I think that's a lot of clips to handle.
That is a lot of clips.
I think that might be the end of the end of the run for right now. when it comes to our best of episode. I mean, just, and that was just all within the past year.
Yeah, since summer of last year.
Yeah.
And what more could you ask for? We ran the gamut from openings to games we played to special guests to odd news and everything in between.
Yeah. I know we're away on our summer break, but hopefully this best of episode will satisfy your crispy noodle needs until we get back in the headquarters of the Crispy Noodle to record. And get back at you with a brand new episode next Thursday. You know what? You know what else this is a good marker for?
What?
I'm sure we'll have a lot of sports news to talk about when we get back.
Probably, yeah.
You know, the Phillies are probably going to be doing some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Preseason football will be starting.
Yes! Football!
And wait a minute. You what? Forgot.
What?
The PGA Championship!
Oh, no! Oh, why? So football and golf, a nice balance.
Yes.
Next week.
Next week.
On the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah. So, it'll be great. But you know what? If you want more of the mayhem that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you can find some of our best bits, interviews, and other fun videos we put up there. We actually have the Missed Connections best bit video on YouTube, so if you want to listen to it again, go check that out. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free straight to your computer, your phone, or your tablet. You can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page as well. If you want to listen to the funniest bits of the Crispy Noodle Podcast in a short 2 to 3 minute format, that's why we got those mini noodles. Check out our SoundCloud page. Search the Crispy Noodle Podcast. You'll find it and laugh your ass off.
So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. That's how you find us on the Twitters. And next week, we'll be ready to go.
That's right. Rested and ready to go with a brand new episode.
That's right. So until then, we'll see you.
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people. That's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2015, Kablamo! Oh, get over here! Pa-pow! Something!